everybody, and welcome to Film Actually News for the 25th of March, 2012. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Did you almost forget my name, Dave?
No, it's funny. Let me explain. Last week, I almost said your name instead of Richard. This weird thing happens when I've only got one of you here now.
The balance is off. The shift is out.
The balance is off. I was just about to say Richard Gray because I had him on my mind because he's not here. And then suddenly I went, no, it's not Richard here at all. It's you. Mm-hmm. How are you, Josh?
Well, not too bad, man. It's been a long week, but that can be said of most of our weeks, can't it?
Absolutely. And we actually missed you a lot last week. We made mention on the show that you're kind of like our rudder that keeps us moving forward.
it was a funny scenario to kind of get to the point where I just needed to go to sleep. But every now and then you get that, don't you?
You do. Now, I'm not sure where Richard is at the moment, but that's okay. He may join us later on. We're not sure. But we're going to move ahead anyway because it is news time. This is Film Actually News. This is our half an hour news show, which cannot be any more than half an hour. So we have to move forward. It's loud, fast, and under 30 minutes, or we have to give people their money back, even though they don't pay anything in the first place. But that's all right. So, yep. Josh, mm-hmm. Let me just say that I have a story here that hurts my very soul. Deadline is reporting that Universal has hired writers for a new sequel to a film where I'm not sure where you stand on this, but it is actually one of my personal favorites. It's the film Midnight Run, which starred Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro back in the 80s. And this was actually one of my favorite films, and it still stands as one of my favorite films. And it's a beautiful film that is actually self-contained, doesn't need a sequel, doesn't need a remake, and Universal's decided that it's time to put a sequel to it.
Can I just jump into kind of investor mode for a minute and just say, who's the target audience for this film?
Well, yes, there is that. It's kind of missed its prime. It doesn't have name value anymore. But the worst news that showed up over this whole thing was that Universal is actually in talks with none other than Brett Ratner to direct this film. And all I have to say to Universal at this point is,
blow it out your ass.
Absolutely. Could they have decided on a worse director to do Midnight Run?
So this is the film that shouldn't be remade because no one, like, fans won't really want to see it. It has no proxy or timing in this sort of a time frame. And also you're getting Brett motherfucking Ratner.
No shit. And on top of that, Robert De Niro is attached to reprise his role as Jack Walsh.
What?
Robert De Niro is a little bit past his prime now for this kind
of
film.
Yeah. I can't see this happening well. No, I can't see this being a good thing.
This just horrifies me in almost every way possible, and I really don't want this to happen. This is a film where you just go, this is not a sequel the world is asking for.
Hmm.
So yeah. Anyway, we'll move on. I guess we should mention that the scribes that have been hired are David Elliott and Paul Lovett. They're not exactly household names, as far as I can tell, but they were the people who are the writers of G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Well, there was some fun in that film. I guess maybe we might be able to translate that somehow.
Yeah, it's a different kind of fun, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
It's not Midnight Run kind of fun.
No,
and also,
not.
You've also got to ask yourself one final question about this entire mess of a story, which is, in this day and age, could you get away with a film that has the language that the original Midnight Run had?
I reckon they'd make it work.
You think?
I reckon that would be the least of its problems, Dave. With all the stuff we've read off, I think that would be the least of its problems.
Fair enough. I think Ratner's not subtle enough for this. Anyway, yep. We'll see how that develops. There's a part of me that kind of thinks that this film will never get off the ground.
So I've got a question for you now, Dave.
Yes.
Who reads Richard's bits?
Oh, I'll read it. He's only got one, so I'll throw that in. Richard threw in a news story earlier today, actually. And so he's got one here, which basically says that in the Doctor Who series, so this will be season 7, I believe we're going into, he's picked up a new companion. The actress's name is Jenna Louise Coleman, and we'll put a link in the show notes as well. He's put a picture up of her. She's a cutie.
Yeah, so you've watched up to the current season.
Yeah.
Are we looking at a kind of a sad or a happy ending to his last
Well, she's already left. That was actually a couple episodes from the end. He basically put her home because she's gotten married and all this sort of stuff. So he basically, for her safety and everything, actually delivered her back home. Mm. And so they're still friends and all that sort of stuff, but her journey is over.
Right.
So cool. He's off by himself, so he's obviously going to meet this new companion and, you know, take another companion. So
awesome.
What he does. For those who might want to be, who are interested, Jenna is 25 years old. She's from Blackpool. I don't know if she's single at the moment, but but anyway, so yes, we have a new companion. She has been cast. And look, I'm quite enjoying Matt Smith's run as Doctor Who, so I will be curious to see where it goes.
Mm. Dave, I have really exciting news.
Oh, tell me.
Okay, now, you know that I rabbit quite a lot on about the Clerks animated series.
I do, yes.
Yes, well, there is words, there is things ticking around in the world around us saying that there may be a return of the series, and that makes me happy in the pants in ways that I don't want to tell anybody about. It is so exciting for me, the concept that this might come back.
Now, to refresh my memory here, Clerks ran for, what, 2 episodes on television, okay. and then they only made 5 or something total. Is that right?
Okay. The way that it worked was this, man. There were 6 episodes in total, and only 2 of them ever hit the air. And the reason for that, realistically, is the fact that it came out at the same time as the Super Bowl. Not as in, like, it came out after the Super Bowl or before. It came out on a different channel during the Super Bowl.
Well, that's not going to work.
And they aired it out of order, which meant that the first 2 episodes are a back-to-back joke. The right. second episode is a clip show for the first episode.
Okay.
So they watch. Apparently they did it something that was like 4-3-1-1-5-2 or something ridiculous was their plan. Right. They got 2 episodes in. No one could figure out what was going on, and the show got canned. You have to watch them all in order for it to work, and it's become a cult hit, not because it's Clerks. I mean, yes, that probably has something to do with it, but literally because it was fun. And it was I like it the way that I actually found this on Slash Film, and I like the way that the guy said that it was kind of Family Guy before Family Guy was around, and that's so true. Like, Family Guy kind of became the gap that was this. Clerks was a bit more, I'll do this with a grain of salt because people will probably yell at me for it, but I think it's more intelligent because it's more cerebral. It's very quick humor. It doesn't wait for you. There's no spelling out of jokes. It literally moves faster than most people can handle. You get a lot of jokes that you don't pick up until the 4th or 5th time. And it's just really good. And the concept that they're planning to bring this back again, we're dealing with a different era of people though. And I don't know if they could bring it back and make it work, but
although
hell, man.
There's a huge audience for that Family Guy style, choppy, you know, things just happen off the cuff kind of humor, which is what Clerks was. There's been a lot of talk that Clerks was just way ahead of its time.
Mm.
So if they bring it back now, there might actually be an audience for it.
Who knows? I hope so. I really do.
Look, I'd be very excited to see this come back because I really like the VSQ universe, and we're never going to see another film. So this is a way of bringing back that universe with those very strange-ass characters that Kevin Smith created. And so, yeah, no, I'm all over this. This is good. I like
and
this.
I'm excited for another reason, though, man, which is the fact that if you ever actually sit down and watch all of them, I'm excited to see all of the little nuances and to see how they plan to bring them back. Because you've got Clerks 2, you've got new characters, and you could bring those new characters into a second season if you made one. But you have to keep making all these little additions, which is that, as an example, they didn't deal drugs in the series. They dealt fireworks, and I hope they keep that same level of humor. They don't need to adult it up. It was actually kind of its charm was the fact that it was trying to be a lot more adult than it actually was allowed to be.
And I love it when you play with that. How I Met Your Mother actually does it all the time, because they're always talking about smoking dope, but they can't say smoking dope because he's telling his kids the story, so they always talk about eating a sandwich.
Yeah,
and he ate a really big sandwich. So I love it when you do that sort of stuff where they kind of, you know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, so that's cool. That's cool. I'm very happy that's coming back. Now, last week, Josh, you weren't here last week, but last week we talked about Michael Bay's announcement of the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film. Sorry, let me take that back. I've decided to call this the Teenage Alien Intergalactic Ninja Turtles movie, which is the taint, of
probably
course.
Close to the true.
Well, it's true, because Michael Bay basically said that the turtles will be coming from outer space.
Right,
that
of course.
That they're going to be alien, which kind of defeats the purpose of the mutant aspect of it. But
do you think he could be just doing that because he knows how much everybody hates everything he does and he's just using that as a weapon? I'm not saying that's happened, but if it does, I called it.
Just in case you did call it, but I actually think it's just Michael Bay thinking that he knows better than anyone else, which is what he does.
We'll get to the reasons why I agree with you later on.
But this week has continued on this story, because basically Michael Bay then came out with a comment basically telling the fans to chill out because everybody was jumping up and down saying, how dare you? So we've now had a few more people weigh in on this, and the people who are weighing in on this are actually kind of know their stuff. Because we've actually had Peter Laird weigh in on this. Now, he's one of the co-creators of the Turtles. And he actually said in a blog post, which we have the link in the show notes for, he actually said, he gives this long explanation about, you know, the instances of the Turtles and where they've been and so forth. But the very last paragraph says, anyway, to get back to the TMNT or aliens thing, the reason I say it could be a genius idea is that for the first time, someone has come up with a way to have as many freaking turtles as they want. I mean, if the TMNT are actually members of an alien race, there could be a whole planet of them. Now, the reason why he's saying that is because in the article, he talks about the fact that everybody has basically tried to say they know better than the creators of the series. And all the way through the creating of movies, they keep saying, you know what? Your four turtles are really cool. You know what would be better? Five turtles. And so now he's basically saying, well, you know what? Now you can have a whole freaking planet of them. You know what I mean? It's like, go for it. Now, he actually did come out later, and we'll come back to that in a minute, where he actually kind of explained his last paragraph. He's saying, I wasn't actually, you know, being serious about this. Yeah. You know? But the second person to weigh in on this was actually the co-creator, Kevin Eastman. Now, Kevin Eastman, interestingly enough, is actually all for this project. And he actually said in an interview on comicbookmovie.com, he said, hey guys, sorry to have been away for so long, completely swamped with work, but it is some pretty exciting stuff. And I've been invited to check out the TMNT film development by my friend Scott Mednick over the years. And a while back, had a full look behind the curtain at what writers Applebaum and Nemec, and director Liebsman, and producer Michael Bay are doing. And trust me, it is awesome. I'm officially on board, and I will share more as I'm allowed. Thanks. So he actually thinks it's awesome what's going on over there now. Now, I would actually like to stress that I think that Eastman kind of says everything's awesome. Really. Everything I've ever said. And I'm not being disparaging. I mean, he obviously goes, you know, he's finished with the Turtles now. You know, he probably sitting there going, yeah, that's cool. Whatever. Go for it, you know? But I think the last one that we want to just throw in here is that director Jonathan Liebsman actually came out, and he kind of addressed the entire alien thing as well. And he actually made the most sense out of everybody, out of all of this, where he actually said, his quote is, and this was actually from an interview on Collider.com, where he actually said, look, it's so funny. If everyone was such a diehard fan, they would know that the TCR canister where the ooze comes from, that is alien ooze. He says, now, I'm not saying that Michael said is exactly what the movie is, because we're sitting in a room right now figuring everything out. He said, so we don't know, but we are, like Michael said, we're expanding it, and the expansion will be true to the mythology. I promise you, fans will love it. So basically what he's saying is that, you know, they are alien because the ooze is alien.
Yeah. So we may not even see turtles. It may be creatures influenced by the ooze, exactly. Or perhaps ooze creatures.
So it's probably not going to be a planet of turtles. He's just basically saying that the ooze is extraterrestrial.
I'm actually on board with that concept, though. I would love to see a planet of awesome ninja turtles fucking kicking ass. And then you wouldn't have ninja turtles because they weren't brought up by Splinter. So you'd have like warrior turtles and Viking turtles. I'm just saying that could be kind of cool.
It could be.
I don't think you could fit that into a film. But it might make a cool game.
You know, the budget might be completely overblown, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And after, let's face it, after John Carter, studios are going to be a bit wary about putting $250 to $300 million into a film.
Yes, and it's all your fault, everybody that didn't go.
Absolutely. And you know what's so funny about all that is that people are actually now starting to kind of saying, you know, the film wasn't actually so bad.
Yeah, well, we said it first.
I know, we did. And the thing is, it's like too late, dudes, too late. All right, Josh, tell me about Battleship.
I just thought this was a funny tidbit. It's like Peter Berg has come out and admits now that Battleship doesn't really have much to do with the game. And it's not so much, I actually disagree. I think that they've got the basis of the game in there without getting too stuck into the fact that it's a game. And I got to say, I'm super excited for this film because I think it looks like absolute rubbish. But in that kind of, I know you're going to disagree with me, and I know Rihanna's in it, so don't get down on that point. I am aware that most of the cast in this is actually really, really obnoxious, but I'm hella excited because this film looks like the most biggest blockbuster that Michael Bay has done ever,
or that hasn't done.
Yeah, I know, but he's in there and his hands are all over this dude. Yeah. I'm sorry, but they are.
I was about to say, this is the biggest film that you'd ever look like a Michael Bay film that wasn't a Michael Bay film. The influences are so heavy. I mean, it looks like Transformers 4, let's face it.
Yeah, but you know what? At least it doesn't have, well, at this stage, it doesn't have wisecracking robots. So I can deal with wisecracking humans because wisecracking humans usually get killed.
It's probably going to have hip aliens that do rap or something.
If they do, then we will both walk out of this film hating it. But if it doesn't, I'm going to love the shit out of it.
The trailer makes me cringe. I don't know if I'm going to like this movie.
Well, dude, I watched that trailer and I'm like, that looks fucking amazing. I'm happy to be the only one that thinks that. That's cool. We'll I have been the first one before. I'm not afraid of you guys.
We'll be reviewing Battleship I've got a list here somewhere, in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. So it's not far off. So we will review it here, and we'll let everybody know what we think. All right. Speaking of interesting film ideas, I don't know. Tarsem Singh. Now he's an interesting director. He's tackled Greek mythology with Immortals. He's doing Mirror Mirror, so he's tackling fairy tales. He did the psychological thriller The Cell. You know, I mean, he does very different films.
Yes.
Now, apparently, Tarsem wants to take on a giant, epic, sprawling modern war movie.
Modern war. So is that like current war?
Well, I'm assuming modern warfare. So I'm assuming something like in the vein of, I don't know, Iraq, maybe?
Oh, dear God. Do you reckon they're making a Call of Duty movie?
I don't know. The film is actually called Eye in the Sky. And it says here, a quote from Tarsem Singh, it says, it's about a drone attack and what it means to the people playing with their thumbs in Nevada. people playing with their thumbs in Nevada. All right. anyway, so it says, go ahead and strike what it means to other politicians at war in Europe and what it means to the people on the ground when it happens. In East Africa, there are people who become collateral damage around the globe in a lot of ways. It's really contemporary emotional piece. I'm wondering how he's going to get his weirdo visual style into that.
Well, good on him. Let him do what he can do, and we'll see. This project, to me, so far, sounds a little bit like the war project that the Wachowskis were doing.
Whatever happened to that?
I don't know. Maybe it came out and we totally missed it. We should look into that.
It disappeared.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, no, look, I'm interested. Tarsem Singh is an interesting director who I'm always interested in seeing what he does. So I'm curious. It seems like it's a real departure from what he's done in the past.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. Now, this is right up your wheelhouse. Tell us about it.
Oh, you're right. My next one. Sorry, I just realized I was reading the one below it. okay. So, dude, we've been reporting on this basically since I started.
Mm.
Do you remember when we first brought this up and we were looking into this?
Yeah.
And we had all sorts of people. We originally had Guillermo, I've never finished a film ever, Del Toro, and have a list larger than, you know, the entire planet if you wrapped it around.
The man who is attached to every film in Hollywood in some way.
But yeah, it's just interesting because, I mean, this guy's essentially came out of nowhere now. And, you know, I don't remember this guy being attached. I actually was very, very confused at this because when I saw this, I was like, wait, I thought this was dead. And now we've finally had him coming out and saying that he's no longer directing it.
So this is Juan Carlos Fresnadillo.
Yes, that's him.
Fresna, is that how you pronounce it? I'm not sure. Anyway, so yeah. The man who we didn't know was directing it is now apparently not directing it.
Yes, but he has come out with a quote and said, honestly, I'm completely out of that, developing other stuff. Right now it's on hold. This is what I thought was the situation, but I read more and it's like, it sounds like it sounds like it may have kind of popped up again, but I think at the same time, there's a bit of miscommunication here because it's like they've obviously gone out of their way to lock this guy down to ask him the question, but I wonder if they were aware, like this is a slash film story.
Yeah.
And we reported on this, right? I'm basically calling out slash film right now.
I'm actually looking at this and saying that that we reported it way back when Gore Verbinski was attached to it as well.
No, because we reported that this guy had dropped out.
The 28 weeks later guy.
Yes.
No, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, no, we did. So I'm wondering why slash film found the need to go out and announce again that this film isn't happening.
And you know what's also very interesting?
Mm.
Is if you read further down... Sorry, I'm reading a different article. Forget that. I was looking at it going, yeah, and it says he's also attached to Eye in the Sky. No, that's Tarsem Singh. That's what we just talked about. I closed the page that I was on. All right.
Reason I was bringing this up is it was just confusing me because I was pretty sure we talked about this and I can actually almost guarantee it now.
I'm looking at this and it says he was previously the director of 28 Weeks Later. Yes, I remember when we talked about him being attached to this. So, yes, I remember this whole thing being shut down because I remember we talked about it. It was actually around the time that the last BioShock game came out and they said that the project was dead in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. That. Absolutely. I do remember this now.
Yeah, it's just strange.
Go back,
it's just
people, and listen to older episodes. Go back and listen to older episodes. You'll know what we're talking about. Yeah. You're right. It's I think that's very bizarre. Odd.
All right. Anyway, Dave.
All right. Now, this was a really interesting one. We like to talk about budget cuts and stuff like that. This one I found interesting because apparently, very quietly under the radar, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the David Fincher remake, mm-hmm. Has now posted a loss. Now, they're not saying it's a huge loss, but they are saying it's a loss. Now, this got overshadowed by the fact that that John Carter just posted a $200 million loss.
Mm. Good time to sneak it out.
Yeah, good time to sneak it out. But Sony Pictures is basically saying, yes, there is a loss on this film. It's not a huge loss, but it is a loss. And they do plan to move ahead with sequels because, you know, they're kind of committed to doing this trilogy. But they are going to be calling for budget cuts on the next two films. Now, this makes me wonder, does this mean that Fincher will pull out? Do you think Fincher is capable of taking a budget cut? And or do you think he's going to say, no, we do it my way or we do it the highway?
Well, if we look into his history, he kind of fights tooth and nail to get things to happen.
He does.
We've seen this before several times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of leaning towards the concept where I think if there was going to be a budget cut, that I don't know if he would stick around.
I think he's got
his film out. I'm not sure if he ever really mentally wanted to do all three.
Mm. I said, the problem is I don't know enough about what his deals were in the first place. Did he plan on doing an entire trilogy? Is that what he was really keen to do? Or did he just want to make the one film and move on? Now, I actually watched Girl with the Dragon Tattoo finally. It's taken me a while to get to it, but I finally watched it the other night. And it's very stylish. It's very David Fincher, but it's also inherently exactly the same problems that the Swedish film had.
Yeah.
I can kind of understand why the film didn't set the world on fire. We've seen it. There wasn't enough in it to make it truly unique.
Yeah, which is so interesting when we do this sort of things, because there are such hit and misses with this sort of stuff, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And this really was a miss. I mean, again, it was the kind of film that it was going to get people going to see it, but I think they wanted it to be bigger than the original, and I don't think that they had quite sat down and realized how big the original was.
Yeah, I think they were trying to, they were literally saying people didn't want to see a subtitled film, this will be huge, because now they get to see Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You know, basically all the rape and none of the subtitles, and sorry, that's from a poster I saw. It's brilliant, but basically there'll be, you know, no subtitles equals bigger returns. I don't think so. I think enough. All the people who wanted to see the movie already saw this movie.
Man, people were reading the books. You don't go back and do the books if you're not interested. You know. But anyway, enough about that.
Anyway, so I think that's fascinating. So I'm wondering whether Sony is even going to get the next two films off the ground, quite frankly, at this point. We will see. Well, We've got one more. I just thought I'd throw this in really, really quickly. We actually did the Prometheus trailer last week. We talked about the second trailer for Prometheus, which just was freaking awesome. But this week, a quick TV spot came out for Prometheus. I thought we'd play this very quickly because I love Charlize Theron's line in it. So have a quick listen to this, Josh, and tell me what you think of this, and tell me this isn't hot. All right, so here we go.
What? You're smiling.
I think they want us to come and find them.
It's a star map.
No,
not a map. An invitation.
From whom?
Prometheus has landed.
If you're going down there, you're going to die.
From the director of Alien, Blade Runner, and Gladiator, this summer, the search for our beginning could lead to our end. Prometheus. This film is not yet rated.
God, that's just hotness.
I love that. Good friend of mine, McKissa, was the first one to bring up that he was like, it's amazing that they managed to find a sound like the Inception sound, but they've tailored it to this film. It's that weird screaming sound at the end.
Yeah, but that weird screaming sound actually comes from the very first Alien. If you watch the trailer to the 1979 Alien, that's the sound that was the entire trailer was that. And they've actually brought that.
I remember that now.
Yes, and then there was actually one of the Aliens trailers. It wasn't the first one, but it was one of the Aliens. Also had that. That's such a uniquely Alien sound.
Isn't it weird?
And as soon as I heard that siren in the last trailer, I just went, oh, I'm in. I even had that isolated and I played that separately from the trailer. I said, the sound just fills my heart full of glee. You know, it's like they've really nailed that whole mood. So I'm really looking forward to Prometheus. I know you weren't here to talk about it. What did you think of the Prometheus trailer?
It blows my fucking mind.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's all I have to say. That fucking, this better be the best film ever. Otherwise, I'm going to be incredibly upset.
And all I can say to that, Josh, is Prometheus has landed.
Yes. Well, it will land very soon, and I'll be very excited.
Yes.
But anyway, Dave, we're out of time.
We're out of time. We're not quite as out of time as we have been for the last 2 weeks. So I got to say, thank you for bringing us in on time, Josh. So, Josh, where can people find out more about you on the internet?
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. We've filled it up with a whole bunch of content. Nathan's away right now, so you're going to get a very different show. We're doing very similar to you right now. We're doing those kind of two-people shows where you get a very different air.
They're kind of nice, though, as well. They're kind of like these bubble shows.
Very different.
Yeah, very nice. And you can find me, of course, on geekactually.com, or you can find me on Twitter at David McVeigh. You can always have a chat with me there if you want to. We should mention that Richard, who's normally on the show, can be found at therealbits.com or on Twitter at DVDBits. We like to give everybody a plug, even if you're not here. And Josh, that's the news. I think we'll talk to you all again next week. Bye, guys.
Absolutely. Bye.
Game over.